objects of space and people of space and all of that sort of thing. He's Mr. DeForest Kelly, one of our fine actors and a very integral part of one of my favorite shows, Star Trek. DeForest, welcome to Open Mind.
Well, thank you, Bill. I heard you talking tonight about the UFOs, and I listened to you for so many nights, and I thought, well, it's about time that I'm calling Bill Jenkins and telling him something about an experience that I had some time ago. An experience that I don't often tell. I didn't tell for many years, and then when I became a part of Star Trek, I just sawed it off completely.
Mm-hmm.
But having heard and read about the San Francisco incident the other day, I thought, well, it's about time that I call Bill Jenkins and just let everybody on the radio hear it, too.
Well, thank you, Florence. I appreciate that very much.
But I want to tell you how much I enjoy your show. That's the main reason that I called. And it's always an entertaining show and one that is certainly enlightening in many areas.
Well, if I've entertained you just 1/100th as much as you've entertained me, then I've done a grand job.
Well, thank you, and I hope you're going to enjoy the one we just wrapped up. I
think. Did you?
You're going to love it. As a matter of fact, we wound the show up in San Francisco. The show wrapped in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, fantastic. I can't wait.
You're going to love it, I'm sure.
Mr. Spock.
I wanted to tell you, when you were talking about the year 1950, now this is really going back some time. My wife and I and a friend of ours who at that time was a businessman and executive for with the Time Seaboard Finance Company, we were driving to New York. And we were in the swamplands of Louisiana, and it was late in the afternoon, possibly around 4:30. This was in the latter part of June, 1950. And we had been switching off driving, and I was in the back seat at the time. And it was just twilight time. And about 600 feet above us, the old story, a long, cigar-shaped object whipped past us, in front of us, and had an identification light, a red identification light on the end of it that was flickering, and laid down a jet stream. This was in 1950. And in front, I couldn't believe what I saw. I thought, well, you know, it's crazy, and my wife and my friend saw it too, but I was in the position in the back seat, and I really had a good look at this thing. And off the sides of it were whipping like blue flames, kind of rolling off the side of it. But as it went into the distance at a very rapid rate, it was, you know, I had to look real quick, but I saw this red light flicking off and on the tail end of this thing. So we drove into Montgomery, Alabama. My God, nobody's ever going to believe this. And when we got into Montgomery, Alabama, outside of a restaurant, went in to eat, there was a headline in the paper that said, "Mysterious object sighted over Southland." I've regretted to this day that I didn't buy that paper and keep it. But I just wondered if anyone on your show over the years, during that period of time, that time frame, had any reportings that you can recall or remember?
Well, we've had, obviously, we've talked about many of them, but I don't, in my mind, I can't put one down to that time frame. But let's throw it out on the table and see if anyone remembers that. And even more so, maybe someone has a copy of that paper. There are a lot of UFO buffs, if we can put it that way, that are in Southern California.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting thought.
I really do appreciate you sharing that with us. I bet you that there are a lot of people. Have you got some time just to stay on the line and spend some time with us here?
Sure, I'll be back.
And say hello to George Green, who is deeply involved. There's not the George Green who is our manager here, but and our leader.
Yes, your captain.
Our own Captain Kirk. This is George Green, who is deeply and extensively involved in UFO research in a very serious manner.
Mm-hmm.
Say hello to DeForest Kelly there, George.
DeForest, I got a question. You said that there was some kind of vapor or something coming off the craft?
No, it was like a blue flames, like were whipping off of the side of it. It appeared to be...
You mean like at a high speed and
right. An
increased
right.
temperature?
Yeah, it laid down a like a vapor stream. When we after it passed, there was just a, like a low vapor stream.
What was the elevation of the craft?
The elevation of it apparently it looked to me like it was around 600 or 700 feet, very low.
And the speed? Did you estimate that?
Oh God, it just whipped by.
You mean from the back of the car to the front of the car? Is that what you're talking about?
It passed in front of the car. We were going down the highway, and it was like, probably 300 or 400 yards in front, and it just crossed, you know, in front of the car.
Warp through. Warp three, Mr. Sulo.
Yes, warp four.
Also, we have with us Jason Rand, who has had an experience himself at about that time period.
Hi, Bones.
Yes, hi.
Again, excuse me, my voice is really bad. Listen,
I don't want to hear about your voice.
Listen, you're great. You guys have done more to enlighten and enrich the not only the imagination of the world, but I think maybe that what your crew has done is probably very honorable for those of us who really take this thing seriously. And I understand that Bill Shatner had a very important experience. Did you ever hear about that from Bill?
I know that he has. I've never heard him relate it. But I've been told that Bill has, and for some odd reason, I've never discussed it with him.
I think you might want to talk to him. From what I understand...
Maybe he's like me. He's afraid for many years I didn't tell him.
Well, you guys have been busy fighting Klingon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I ask you?
Them taken care of now. We're moving on to other things.
Uh-huh. There you go. Can I ask you a couple questions about your experience? Immediately prior to that, could you or would you remember whether or not you might have had any kind of telepathic contact a week, a month, a year before bringing you to that particular point? I'm doing research on my new book, and I have found a very strong connection between what we call precognitive awareness of things that are heard and seen within the mind, and then usually within a month to 6 months or maybe a year, that person who either has what we call dream state implant reality suddenly, in fact, sees a manifestation of the things that we call UFOs or extraterrestrial vehicles.
That was another movie.
Yeah, right. Do you remember having any kind of conscious awareness or dream state awareness before, during, or after that experience?
No, I really don't. It was a point in my career where I was moving on to New York, and it's a long time ago. It was just an essence of that happened, and it was so long ago that I will never forget that sighting or and seeing. I was making a personal appearance in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in the 70s. When I first related this story. And at the end of the session, I was signing autographs, and a gentleman came by with a young boy, his son, and he told me that he was with somebody with the government and with UFO sightings, and that the sighting that I had related to that audience was identified, or they had made note of it, that it was down on the books. So evidently I was not the only one that was aware of it.
That cigar-shaped craft has been reported the flying saucer, actually.
So many times, yes. But that's exactly what it was. It was really the old thing you've heard many, many times, a cigar-shaped craft. And I feel privileged to have seen it, but at the same time, it's one of those things that you're rather reluctant to talk about, particularly when you're on a show like Star Trek.
Well, Bones is out of the closet now.
Yes, I somehow now I know how it feels to come out of the closet.
Yeah, you just told about a million folks. You feel good about that?
But I had to call and tell you that because I listen to you so often, it seems like, on Saturday night, and you have discussed UFOs many times, and I thought, gee, I should go in there.
You should.
And give him a call and tell him about that thing.
Well, I'm just delighted you
did. And I backed off of it each time, and tonight my wife, Carolyn, said, why don't you go call him and tell him and get it off your mind.
There it is. Do it. Now I want you to stay with us, okay?
I'll hang on for a little while.
All right, I'm honored to have you aboard. DeForest Kelly, that's Dr. McCoy, Bones of the Star Trek series, and the new movie will be coming. When is that coming out, DeForest?
We're hoping for either a Thanksgiving release, if not, it'll probably be December 6th.
But the Enterprise, you crashed it in the last one.
I know, but I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen about it.
Thought we could get something out of it.
But this is going to be a big one because, you know, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary.
I've seen every one of them.
September the 8th will be 20 years since Star Trek first appeared.
My goodness, has it been that long?
That's right.
It seems to me like it's been around forever.
No, it has. So have we.
And I never get tired of it. We'll be right back in a moment. Bob, I think it is. Hello, Bob.
Hello, how are you today?
We're doing fine.
Say, listen, you know, if the Petaluma and similar UFOs are our own secret aircraft, then we are doing a disservice to our country by asking questions about craft configuration. It only helps our enemies if private individuals in this country track sightings, and the DeForest Kelly sighting could very well have been a jet aircraft viewed from the side.
DeForest, do you think that's a jet aircraft that you look at?
No way. In 1950, we had nothing. We don't have anything like that today that I can visualize or see, and certainly not in 1950.
Well, sir, my point would only be that a secret project is something that we widely would not know about. After all, during the First World War, the British kept the development of the tank a total secret until the day they were first deployed in battle.
Well, you know, Bob, it's an interesting hypothesis that you put up that all of the...
I'm not saying all.
The things that we see are...
I'm not saying all.
...are coming out of Nellis Air Force Base
or
wherever they test them.
No, not all. That business in Brazil seems like another matter entirely.
Yeah, it is.
I'm just saying that I think a lot of these organizations here in our country that try and gather information about UFO sightings are helping our enemies.
Bob, can I... this is George Green speaking.
Yes, sir.
I was assigned to the research center at Edwards Air Force Base where we worked on all our top secret and specialized aircraft back in the 50s and early 60s. The equipment and stuff that we had, unfortunately, is of general public knowledge other than a very few craft that we had. And at that time, the only craft that I worked on personally was the X-15 that was capable of doing about 4,000 miles an hour. The rest of the craft that we had available, we had a saucer in our north hangar, which was a captive craft, and our information was that we were to tell the public that it was basically an ion-powered craft designed by Sikorsky in order to cloud anything. We really couldn't tell anything about it, but we had it.
Yeah, as an expert, you know that not all jet configurations have a vertical stabilizer.
And what you're talking about and what DeForest was talking about, the same thing. What we were analyzing was, and what we're analyzing right now, is there variations of craft. And it appears that several of the craft not only are the round, the boomerang, the cigar shape, the small ball, the big one, all different sizes, they are capable of disappearing, as Jason was talking about, as well as some craft that as many as, you know, 15 miles across, the one like was over in China. So the abilities of all these different extraterrestrial abilities, the things that you're talking about, are beyond our military capabilities at this point. And the investigations that we're doing, which we're coming out with several books right now, on each of the different contacts, we're actually having physical contacts with the extraterrestrials, and they're giving us a lot of information which we are verifying through new books, which are telling the size of the craft, how they're powered, similar, as a matter of fact, to what Star Trek is set up on. And it's amazing how similar they are, and we're getting direct physical evidence.
Yeah, well, I'm not denying extraterrestriality. I'm just saying that for those sightings that may be
Well, how do they make that determination? Let's take the little case up in Petaluma. It's not a little case. It's a major case because some very reputable people saw it, as you heard tonight.
My guess would be that that's not extraterrestrial.
Hard to say. We don't know of anything that travels
well,
that way.
That's right. As compared to the Brazilian sighting, which is...
And the government has no business testing these craft over civilian populated areas. They have vast reaches that they can be testing these craft over.
Well, I guess if you can go 900 miles an hour, you'd get off course pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I don't want to take up much more of that time, but I did want to challenge your audience to look at their reality box and... perhaps expand their windows in that direction.
Well, I don't think that we can afford to, when we see these strange things in the sky, to just become mum about them in the event that they may be something that Uncle Sam is doing, particularly when they're in places like Petaluma or over Los Angeles. They should not be testing experimental craft over Los Angeles or even over Petaluma.
Well,
if they are, then they are making a serious mistake, and they should have their little wrist slapped for that.
Yes, sir, and that's clearly your viewpoint. I would just like the audience to have a chance to take another perspective if they choose.
Okay, Bob.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate you getting in there.
Good night.
And Edson, you're on.
Hi, good evening. It's really an honor to speak to your guest tonight, especially Bones. I hope he doesn't mind me using that. Your first caller, Constantine.
Yes.
Mentioned about the silence of animals and insects when a UFO came over, and that could be related to what is called extremely low-frequency waves, and in China, they've used that to detect earthquakes, and they're trying to do the same around here when animals stop, you know, barking, or the dogs and so forth. That could be a similar occurrence, but it seems strange that just after the Chernobyl radiation cloud passes over California, we get UFM. I suppose maybe Brazil too. We get UFO sightings. I wonder if there could be any relationship. And one other comment: something happened tonight. And I don't know if any of your listeners had the same experience, but around 8 o'clock there was a jet fighter scrambling in my area toward the foothills, toward something toward Mount Wilson area, and he was only about 100 feet off the ground, and I don't think they're supposed to do that, so maybe somebody...
A jet fighter?
He sure was a jet fighter. looked like one of those F-111, something like that, and he was going at least 800 miles an hour. He really walked the area around here.
I suppose we'll hear about it.
Yeah, by the way, how about the UFO sighting that might have caused the great air raid in 1942 over L.A.? Yeah, there's a few questions for your guest tonight.
Okay. Well, the UFO sighting over Los Angeles has been well documented. That happened right in the heat of the wake of Pearl Harbor. There were strange things in the sky, so we shot at them with everything we had.
I was there.
You were there?
Yep.
Did you see it?
I not only that, but the flak fell around me at that time. Like an idiot standing out looking up and seeing these tiny little white lights way, way up in the sky. And the guns firing. I was in Long Beach at the time, 1942. And it was during the blackout period.
Mm-hmm.
But they were so distant, it was difficult to tell what it was. It looked like a little formation of some sort, but at an extremely high altitude. In reference to what the previous caller called before had stated about the secretiveness of the government experimental work and so forth, it seems to me that that's rather impossible because during World War II, as the old folks say, my memory fails me, the P-51 was a hot ship before that preceded the X-15, the Jaeger, and all tested. We had nothing at all that looked like a cigar-shaped object that was bolting off of the ground at 800 feet.
So at that time, our hottest thing was the Flying Tiger. That was that little Curtis P-40, I believe.
Yeah, the 51 was a hot ship, too.
Yeah, that came along a little bit later.
Yeah.
I have seen an analysis of that formation, and it indeed was a very carefully controlled formation that the Japanese certainly could not have done. And in fact, as we know now, they could not have even gotten aircraft here to the United States.
It did not look like a reflection, I can say that, because the searchlights were raking through the skies at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They were definitely were like little lights of some sort. It was an extremely high altitude for that period of time.
Well, it sure got a lot of attention.
It sure did. It was a very scary situation when it happened, too.
Well, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
You've now related two specific incidents, not one, right?
Well, yes, I'd forgotten about that. I just thought, you know, that was an incident that happened, and I happened to be in Long Beach at the time, and when it happened, and everybody, like fools, ran out to look up to see what was going on, and there were little small pieces of flak falling around at the time.
Okay, I'd like to put something in perspective for you as a thought pattern to take off the air tonight. I've been in touch with a number of UFO investigators over the last couple years who are beginning to form a rather interesting hypothesis about what's happening in the entertainment industry. And if anybody fits the criteria for this hypothesis, it sure as heck is you. Let me try this on you. Number one, you see something in 1950. You saw something approximately 8 years earlier. Did it ever occur to you, or might it occur to you now, that maybe you were being set in place to possibly understand something from a higher sense of consciousness that you've been dealing with for the last 20 years? You and the rest of the crew of the show have been dealing with a subject called the extraterrestrial hypothesis. That was the basic stratagem of Star Trek. That is that you traveled to, you know, new times, new places, new dimensions, and you dealt with the reality box that you experienced at that time. Now, what I'm trying to get at is very simple, and that is this, that if you wanted to reach the mental, spiritual, and psychological vibrational rate of the planet, you would probably choose to do it through its entertainment media. And the United States, and Hollywood in particular, and we've written about this, is probably the information-gathering capital of the world. You know, we have the best technologies, we have the best of the filming technologies, we have talent here that assembles from all over the planet to come into work. Your show was 20 years ahead of its time. I do remember reading how, in fact, that the network wasn't really sure whether, you know, Star Trek was going to fly. And what I'm asking you pointedly is this. If, in fact, your expertise in the field as an actor has said anything to the world, and if Star Trek means anything to the literally hundreds of millions of people who've seen that show as many as 1,000 times, I know I have. I've got the whole collection on video cassette now, all the way back to some of the early shows. And basically, I think what we're dealing with is a situation whereby people like Ron Howard produced an absolutely beautiful, touching, spiritually inspiring movie called Cocoon, okay? Since you won't share with us what Star Trek IV, if I'm not mistaken, is all about, I guess we'll have to froth at the mouth on that one. But I do want you to know one thing, that you and people like you have been largely responsible for bringing a message about possibly the future of our planet, possibly the future of our solar system, and very possibly the future of the universe. You know, if we are all created in the image of God, what is it that we're doing to share with each other what that image should be? And I just want to thank you and the crew and all the actors for never once letting us down in a situation where a lot of us have come to believe in the reality of what that show represented. And the movies that are coming out, the things like E.T., and thank God for people like George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, who have really broken ground in that area. We're beginning to see this thing called the extraterrestrial hypothesis from a very humanistic viewpoint. You know, no more monsters. By the way, did you know that they just remade Invaders from Mars? It opens up June 6th. Did you catch that on the billboards?
No, I read where it was.
Yeah, that goes back to what, 1952, 1953? Yeah. We're still dealing with the alien, you know, that grotesque thing that eats people,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a shame, but anyway, I just wanted to say thanks, Bones.
Well, thank you very much, and before I sign off, I want to say that I've been a very fortunate human being to have been a part of this show. It's a phenomenal show, and it has, as you say, it has touched a chord throughout the United States and Europe as well, all alone. and it has the same effect with the young people and the old people. It's all ages. It encompasses people from 5 and 6 years up until into their 80s, where we go on personal appearance, where there are thousands of people there. And it's been a great influence to the young people of this nation, as well as we have perhaps the biggest university audience in the country. And it's just been a marvelous feeling to have known that we have influenced the youth of this nation. NASA works with us on our personal appearances. There is always somebody there from NASA with us because they feel that we have lassoed the youth, so to speak, and they're there to sell them on their program. And kids have been influenced from, I have people who write and look on the medical school as a result of McCoy, and some are entering into all fields of science as a result of this show. And it's been a remarkable experience for me and all of us on the show. And I just want to tell you all how much I enjoyed talking to you tonight, and I will keep listening to you, Bill, and it was a pleasure to talk to you, George, and Jason.
Thank you.
It was our pleasure to have you aboard. One thing to make you feel good.
Yes.
Over at our house, we have all of these little video cassettes. Kids come in, there's all of George Lucas's and Spielberg's things in there, among as well as most anything. And every time I go in there, it's either the Rathacon, or they're searching for Spock, or they're doing something. They watch it over and over again.
Well, you're going to love number 5, because I think it's really the first show that we've done that is going to pick up an outside audience, not only the Star Trek people, but people that would not ordinarily look at it. You're in for, I think, a wonderful surprise, all of you.
Well, we're looking forward to it.
Bones, remember one thing.
Yes,
there's the overwhelming, repetitive message that comes in from people that we talk to who actually have extraterrestrial contacts, and believe me, it happens. I had one myself. It changed my entire life. But more importantly, they state that we are all teachers and we are all students. And what you've done is you're teaching every personal appearance you make. Every movie that comes out teaches. Sometimes it's not always positive. But you're a teacher, my friend, and please continue, okay?
Well, thank you very much. It's been a joy talking to all of you.
All right, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
All right.
Bye-bye.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind on Talk Radio 79. Just smile about it.